Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout.
And I'm Aneke Fitz-Clark, the co-creator of this damn podcast. And I'm back. She, her, right? That's it. She that's and her. It. Yep, there's not a third it. One? Is there a past tense? Herses? Anyways, I'm a librarian. If you bitches have been listening to past episodes, you know who I am. I'm happy to be back.
Yay! And I don't know about you, but oof, I need her. So much is going on, and she is ready to take us to Tangent Town, because so much has happened since she last visited. So we check in with her, how she's dealing, handling, processing, with all the civil unrest. And we talk about the issue with folks expressing a quote-unquote silent solidarity. What's up with that? Merriam-Webster is updating the definition of racism. Whoa, finally. Black Trans Lives Matter protests erupted around the country en masse. And we also try to remember how to celebrate good news with the recent Supreme Court ruling. I just don't remember how do you handle good news. And Aneke has issues with Elmo. Oh yeah, bring it, Elmo. I saw the latest Spike Lee joint, The Five Bloods, which is on Netflix right now, and that opens up a conversation about Black veterans, Black history, Black cinema, and all things Spike Lee. And then in the main event, we kick it up a notch with our actions you can take on police reform with 8 Can't Wait, 8 things you can make sure that are in place in your city now to help end police violence of its citizens, specifically towards its Black citizens. This is a wonderful, chock-full episode of so much goodness on the 5th year anniversary of Minority Corner and on Juneteenth. It is just so much Black fabulousness. I am so glad that y'all are here to join in the celebration. Let's go. Time to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner. Let's go.
We're recording.
Never.
Sorry, I've let my hair down. I know.
Usually I know. You're countdown. Loose.
And then just
I love it.
Then it's just a cold open, and we're just all of a sudden in the episode.
Look at you, Howard Stern, doing it up. You know. Now you're just like tricking people. I think Mark Maron does a cold open where they don't realize that they're talking. All the guests on his show are always like, "Oh, we're recording now."
That's how we get you. And Aneke, we're recording now. Got you. Got you. Got you. Got you.
I mean,
pow.
I'm.
Oh, I guess you knew.
I'm kind of hard to be got. I've recorded enough episodes with you. I'm an old pro around. These James Arthur corners.
Also, what you all just missed is Aneke had handography for that. Like, she did Too Legit to Quit, like, in her own way. It was amazing. I was here for it. Aneke,
James, yeah. I have a question, actually.
Okay, taking the reins. I can't even get to my question. Okay, she's back.
Taking it back. Okay. Khaleesi, taking corner.
No. Well, I'm sure that will end well for you.
It probably won't. I'm going to just delicately bleed from my eyes.
Watch out for them dragons.
A delicate blood tear as I expire. Sorry, spoiler alert. Whatever. It was
a bad
season.
Yeah, you should have seen it by now. Also, spoiler alert. Apparently, Game of Thrones just exists in the world of Westworld. Spoiler alert.
Don't get me started.
Okay,
Westworld, we jumped the ship
to
too. But
on
we
that.
Can.
I'm only on episode 5 anyways can. Of season 3, but we'll put a pin in that for next month.
Oh, of Westworld?
Yeah.
No, we could talk about that when I come back again, because I'm going to keep coming back. I'm like a fucking rash. Can't get rid of me. Yeah, I left, but you know what? I'm back.
You're a rash we like. It's like, ooh, yeah. I don't like calling you a rash, actually. I don't want this
metaphor.
No,
you know what I am? No,
you're
okay.
Like Santa.
I'm an irritant that makes your lips plump.
Oh.
Where you're like, ooh, it's irritating, but I like it.
Okay,
it gives me
and your lips are
lip.
All, you know,
tingle tangle,
big and ready for kissing when we can do that again.
Yeah, don't do it now. Come on. No. Unless you're quarantining with that person, you can kiss that person.
Then kiss them as much as you want. Get them kisses in. It's been a while for me.
I forget what I was going to... Oh, now I remember what I was going to say. We're back. Tangent Town. That's what we do. Have you ever thought about releasing the Zoom recordings to, like, I don't know, Instagram or YouTube or something?
Oh, yeah, especially since we're camera ready, almost wore the same outfit.
I have a full face of makeup on for you.
Okay, she was ready.
I got other meetings.
And I have a light. You see, I have a special light that I have put up just for this, so that way I'm not in the dark.
You always have to get your light. That's one thing that has never changed. You got your light, even though you hadn't planned on releasing this. This is purely a show for me.
It's just for you. I want to make sure
I appreciate
you
it.
You are having the time and show of your life as well.
Thank you.
Aneke, since you are back, a lot has happened. So when you last were here previously, when Aneke was here, all that was going on, quote unquote, all that was going on was just, you know, the combinations of the 1918 pandemic and the Great Depression happening and murder hornets. And now the writers of 2020 are really going for it full strong. They're like, and now we're adding back the civil rights movement and civil unrest. Like, these writers have gone off the wall.
No restraints. The editors have decided to take a nap.
Yeah.
They are throwing everything to the wind. They're just like, you know what? Here is every single conflict that America has been through in 6 months. Here we go.
Yeah.
Less than six months, because this shit didn't plop onto our plates until probably about March.
So, it's been three. We're going into the third month of it. Yeah. Remember the Iowa caucus?
No.
Pete Buttigieg?
Who's that?
Not at all.
Who's that guy?
But how are you doing with everything, especially, you know, being a mother and my heart breaks. Like, we started this podcast on the heels of Ferguson. It was one of the fires that lit this, and seeing that happening. And we had spent, you know, so much time arguing the merits of Black Lives Matter. It looks like people are, you know, we're skipping that part of, you know, the fight, and people have, you know, jumped on that. And I think maybe too, partly because of folks like, you know, us, not like we led the charge, but did help the con. Okay, fine.
Claim
it. Yes. I'm gonna have the audacity of a mediocre white man.
We did that.
Yes, we did help with the education and having these conversations and dialogues. So, along with many others as well. Mm-hmm. So, how are you feeling? Like, does it feel like, oh my God, we're back here again? Like, how are you? What's going on?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired. That's the biggest refrain. The overarching umbrella is I'm just tired. Mm-hmm. I'm tired because, you know, on the non what's happening in the world side, I am a mom and moms are tired. That's one thing that I don't think people understand. Parents are tired because kids are a lot. Like, I slept two nights. It's like, I was able to get a full night's sleep last night and the night before. Oh, my God. So there's that, right? Yeah. I'm tired because I'm a black woman. I'm a dark-skinned black woman and with natural hair and who wears head wraps, who looks, quote-unquote, Afrocentric when it's like, no, I'm just who I am. I'm embracing...
You just fly as fuck. Like,
well, thank
where
you.
Was
thank
TV
you.
Show? Like,
but you know what I mean. It's it's political to be in this body. Same with you. Ugh. You know,
to just wake up every day as an act of revolution and get up and not just burst into
exist.
Tears every minute.
To fucking exist is tiring. And both you and I are intersectional. So we put on our black hats. We put on our other hats. I put on my woman hat. You put on your queer hat. And then we go off in our day and we are just a fucking revolution in a skin suit walking down the street. Like, I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing people who look like me die. I'm tired of seeing people who look like my family members die. I'm tired of seeing white people be indignant over dumb things like police chiefs. No, not police chiefs, but police fucking union reps, union presidents out in the street talking about the injustice that they're facing. That's rich. How obnoxious do you have to be to not see the irony in that statement? I'm sick of people being, I'm tired of people complaining about their white monuments being torn down because of white heritage. I'm tired. At work, just to kind of wrap it up really quick.
Yeah.
Because I can go on and on. This could be a spoken word piece for like 2 hours talking about how I'm tired, but I'm not going to do that to you guys.
I'm tired.
And it's just you in the background be like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. But, okay, like at work,
we'll
on
do
top
a different
of,
segment called Aneke's Spoken Word Pieces.
Oh my God. Okay, so I decided at the start of last year, the head of the diversity program at our school, he quit to go to another job. And I'm a part of the diversity action group where we deal with diversity, equity, and inclusion. But it's more of like a, you know, just like a community of faculty and staff members talking and, you know, suggesting things.
Kind of like a task force, right?
100. Yeah. So we wanted to make sure that it kept going and it didn't fall apart. So I volunteered along with a friend of mine, and we were put together with a third to be the three co-chairs of this group. And it was great. We did a lot of progress. It was, you know, last year, just Black Lives Matters is still a thing. People are still dying. Police brutality, but more, you know, like the pace
just
of it.
Keeping it on the radar.
Keeping it on the radar. But also like, we're inviting an indigenous tattoo artist to come talk to the students. You know, things like that, right?
Yeah.
School year, March happens, and then all of a sudden we become like fucking the highlight. It's like, what are we gonna do, guys? Ah! And so it's been nonstop. It's been non-fucking stop, which is good, but I'm tired. And a lot of it is really kind of leveling down to a lot of this work is on our backs. People of color, BIPOC people especially, we're doing the work when it should be people supporting us. It should be people being like, you take a break. Let me step up and like do this for you, you know? Mm-hmm. And the latest thing that happened, and this is personal, I got to talk about it, and I'll censor. I won't say any names or anything, but just so you know, there's a music program at the school that I work at, and it's because of, like you said, the depression is coming on. People won't know if they need to go to college. Budget cuts are happening to the college. So the music program is looking like it might be canceled.
Damn. Yeah.
Which sucks. But it's one of those facts of life sort of things that happen.
It's just the way that our systems are designed. The arts are just on the chopping block first.
Yeah.
Sad reality.
Yeah, it's the truth, and I'll talk to you about all the mechanics, but I don't want to take up the time of the podcast. Just this, I got to talk to you about this letter that you're going to be like, what the hell, Aneke?
My side eye is red day.
So this letter comes out, sent to the whole community of Dominican, talking about how jazz music is a black art form, and how can you get rid of the music program when jazz music is played in the music program? And by doing that, you're getting rid of an anti-racist program, and on and on and on about how playing jazz music is a revolution and is a celebration of, you know, is what did they say? Just going on and on about how playing black music, jazz, is an act of Black Lives Matter. And at the end of the article, at the end of the letter, they said, Black Lives Matter and black music does too. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't written by a black person.
I already knew this was coming. This reeked of a white person. Well, I'm just going to say it.
I'm not saying who it is. Purely censoring. And I'm not saying this person is a part of the music department. There's been a lot of different people who have been up in arms about this whole thing. A lot of tensions are running high for this. So this is just an individual that I am going to not expose who they are. Right. But I'm going to expose this letter because this letter is bullshit. Even to the point where they talk about, you know, just basically a cursory outline of what jazz is and the creation of jazz. Like, we didn't know what it was, you know?
Yeah.
So I last straw, I had to write a response. So I wrote a response. And I got 42 responses. Wow. I think that there's 42. I think maybe a little bit less than that because I wrote some back to people. So, right. You know, let's say between 20 to 40.
There was a dialogue and conversation happening. A lot of people were responding to the letter that you had written.
Yes. And the thing that I want to bring up that I appreciated that there was a lot of solidarity, but it was silent solidarity. And that's the problem with what's going on right now. It was a lot of people saying, thank you for writing that letter. I was thinking the same thing. And I'm sorry that you always have to be the one to respond. Only to me.
Right.
We need to stop that. We need to be more public. Because just sending me in a letter doesn't change anything. Doesn't acknowledge that you feel that way and letting this person know that that's not okay. You know?
Yep.
So I want more people, if you're listening to this podcast, to help us stop feeling tired is to be public. Not only post about it on social media, be about it. Actually donate. Actually show up. Actually have tough conversations with your racist uncle.
And like form, like there's, okay, it's sort of like there's a physical way of forming, like form a white wall, both in social media and in physical protests. Like they've been using that as a protest tactic, and I forget in which city, but they'll yell out, white wall, and a bunch of white people will run in front of a bunch of black people, and they've noticed the decrease in violence that ends up happening to these protesters. Like that wall of the Karen Bear stare that we saw.
Oh my God,
which will go down in the history books, like right next to Tiananmen Square. They want to speak to the manager of the police officers, and I'm here for it. But I've had people like on social media, like you said, like I'm very actively engaged in social media. And I will say, like, sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this? But I have gotten private conversations where people have been like, just like, thank you for the work that you're doing. You've actually like, you know, sometimes we're like, you never change anybody's minds. Like, that's not been my I changed some.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, good.
And two, just like putting out the bullshit fires. I just am trying to put out fires. But I've appreciated, like, I've had like straight white dudes like take the like step in where like someone's saying some bullshit. Like, for example, showing like copy and pasting, like, here's Merriam-Webster's definition of racism, right?
Right.
And I've had, which is the most, I mean, I'm so exhausted by that retort when someone's trying to show, like, me that black people can be racist.
It's so, ugh.
And the word you're looking for is maybe bigoted, but racism and sexism deal with power. And you might feel like, oh, some black people are being mean to you, but you leave that situation and nothing has changed. You're not going to make less money. You're not going to have, you know, police violence happen against you. You're not, like, nothing is going to change from those mean comments from the black community.
Right.
You're some hurt feelings, but you return to your, you know, place of privilege. Anyways, I've really appreciated a handful of times when I've had, you know, these straight white dudes step in and talk to the straight white dudes. So sometimes that's what it takes. And they then have even sent me a private conversation of like, hey, I hope you don't mind, you know, like this is.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I like that though.
And it's also checking in because it's a delicate dance, right?
Yes.
Every black person that you're working with, some are tired and don't want to have, they're done, right? And they don't have to. And some, like, I for whatever reason, have the energy and effort right now to be the Michelle Pfeiffer, Dangerous Minds, let's have a conversation, white people. Like, I am your inner city teacher.
You turn that chair backwards.
My chair is backwards. We need to have a talk, right? I have that energy. Right now, who knows? In a few months, I might not. So it's just a delicate sort of dance that you have to walk with each individual. You might step on some toes. And when someone says, hey, you're stepping on my toe, you just step back. You know,
take it with grace and move back. You know,
move back, yeah.
I appreciate that. And that's the thing, too. I have to really co-sign what you said about sending the email because I got at least, I mean, 3 or 4 people actually did do public posts. And they asked me, they said, do you mind if I co-sign this publicly? And I said, yes, please.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and I want to give you snaps too, Ineke. Like, I think it's so beautiful, the work that you're doing with your task force. Because a lot of, you know, Bruce was on a few weeks ago, and we said, we're talking, a lot of the impacts, the greatest impacts we actually have are in the workplaces or in our work environments. And I think it's, I hope that people at your job are also there to help lift you up or support you. Literally that song, Lean On Me, right? Like, letting you know that you can lean. So when you need to take that breath, because you have so much more that is layered on, plus the generational trauma that is also there, your own personal trauma that you're dealing with. And so I want to applaud you because you are still doing the work, and you are also taking care of yourself, taking care of that baby girl. And I just want to give you snaps.
Thanks, so, James. And guess what? I'm doing it for free because it's summer. Like, what the hell? Give me a stipend.
That should, wow, reparations, you know, reparations. Because you know what? You know who also did that shit for free?
Who?
This is a terrible thing. I mean, Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, like, you think about how did they make money? And I'm not saying that to, like, oh, well, Neka, you don't need to get paid either. I'm like, you need to get paid because they didn't get paid. You
exactly.
You know, like, reparations. Like,
it's time. All of this work is purely passion. Like, that's the thing that I think people need to understand, that a lot of these people are standing up to causes, that are doing all these things. That's one of the reasons why I got so mad at that letter, is because it was job focused, you know?
Right.
And there are people that are losing their lives for free. Like, it's, you know, like, pay me.
Yeah.
I could do a lot with 40 acres. That's a lot of land.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's, you know, funny, you're talking about the 40 acres, and the day this is being released, it's Juneteenth. Happy Juneteenth.
Woo!
I meant to open with that. But also,
no more slavery.
Happy birthday. Ooh, yeah. Happy birthday to Minority Corner. It's our 5th year anniversary going into our 6th year.
Nikki's back.
Still here. Who would have thought? Not me, but here we are. Also, I want to point out something. Well, I didn't know we'd keep doing it for this long, but now, like, there's no place I'd rather be, especially in moments like this.
That's nice.
Do want to point out, I'm really grateful that Merriam-Webster, because the thorn in my...
What? What are you giggling?
Sorry, I was going to say the thorn in my coochie. I don't know.
You don't... Where's the thorn? In a jar?
Okay.
Where you keep your coochie?
The thorn in my nipple. The thorn in my nipple, because that'd be an annoying place to have a fucking thorn.
What about
thorn
your taint?
In your... I don't, that's too much. Okay, the thorn in my
that's
taint.
Too much. You just want a mild irritant. Okay, yeah.
Like nipple. A mild irritant. The thorn in my nipple is when people try to, like, shove the definition of racism in my face, as if the dictionary is, like, the end-all be-all to, you know, everything.
Written
I'm
by
so
old white
because,
men.
Yes. Well, the good people at Merriam Webster are listed, like, someone was just wrote letters to them and was like, we need to change this definition, and so now they're working on it, and the proposal and not only that definition but other words are going to be changed to update it. So I'm just so looking forward to now I can throw the definition of racism back at them, because it's going to mention things about, like, systematic oppression, power. So yes. So again, like, the thing is, like, everyone has their lane. Like, this person's lane was to write letters. And
see?
You know,
and that's what happens when you don't send a private message, when you send a message to the actual source, when you stand up, things get changed.
Yep. Yep. Speaking of, too, I just want to give, you know, it is Pride Month, and I want to give snaps to, you know, not only do Black Lives Matter, but Black Trans Lives Matter as well. Mm-hmm. There were so many protests this past weekend around the country from New York. New York City had an estimated 25,000 people who marched along with Hollywood Walk of Fame and all Black Lives Matter demonstration in, you know, Chicago, San Antonio, Boston, all over the place in honor and protest because, you know, Black trans people are killed at a disproportionate rate in this country as well.
Recently,
Dominique Remy Fells was found dead in Philadelphia on June 9th. Ryan Milton was shot dead in a robbery in Liberty Township, Ohio. And then also a few weeks back, Tony McDade, a trans man, was killed in police custody.
Ugh.
So I just wanted to give steps like that for people who are out there. Again, it's the middle of a pandemic and people are still out there making noise and making changes. And we're seeing like things are responsive. Anybody ever tells you that protests don't work, they're probably a totalitarian and they don't want you to, right? They want the
exactly.
Because it's not only, yes, vote, but you also got to, you know, find your way of protesting and making your voices heard, because politicians want to get reelected. Now, even Republicans are having to try to come up with some last minute, like Trump's going to maybe, I don't want to call his name out, Agent Orange, I'm going to use a Spike Lee term, is trying to like do some sort of, you know, bullshit legislation, but they're having to give notice to what's happening, you know?
Right. But I mean, things are still happening that we need to be aware of. There are a lot of things that are slipping under the radar, like especially calling out to Black Trans Lives Matters. I think that that's vital because Trump just rolled back protections against the trans community. And we have J.K. Rowling out here in the streets outing herself as a fucking TERF. Like hardcore writing essays about how she only believes in biological sex. Like there are notable people using their platform for bad. So, I mean, those marches that you called attention to were beautiful. And it's so good to see that people are coming out.
And like he says, specifically calling out again, like, you know, what's happening to trans folks too. And, you know, actually I want to do, this is going to be unusual for Minority Corner in the last few months. I want to celebrate something.
James, wait, hold on. I gotta correct that. Every episode is a celebration of blackness.
Okay. Fair. Okay. But there was some good news that popped up and I forgot how to on social media. It's like I forgot how to share like good
news. Oh my god.
It's been a while. So and this shocked me. So the Supreme Court has ruled that the federal law that protects LGBTQ workers from discrimination nationwide. So it's essentially using the same Civil Rights Act that you can't be fired because you are lesbian, gay, bi, transgender, queer, or any of those things, which is in a lot of states you could.
And it's awful.
That, you know, I've been so fortunate to live in like California and New York, and my heart goes out to my queer brothers and sisters and everything in between that, like, that wasn't the case for everybody, you know? Like, we're having that conversation. And the thing that was the most surprising is that it was a 6-3 decision to hold up the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Again, we've talked about Clarence Thomas on this podcast before, and I just want to bring up again what a fucking asshole.
That was literally my next note. Fuck you, Clarence Thomas. Fuck you. I rarely say something with such venom.
I hate him.
Well, I said it with first Karen Ivanka Trump. Fuck her, too, because she was like, happy pride. And then this bullshit has happened, you know.
Gross.
And fuck you, Brett Kavanaugh. Like, again, elections have consequences.
I know. We have that possum-ass looking motherfucker in our Supreme Court for the rest of his crusty-ass life. Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. And you know, like, and of course, like Clarence Thomas and Brett Kavanaugh, who both have been accused by multiple, I believe on multiple counts of
sexual assault.
And here they are trying to tell people what they can and cannot do. And I just was really surprised that it was a 6-3 vote and that even Gorsuch, who Trump had appointed, who wrote the statement on it, and because he's this hardcore constitutionalist, so big snaps to the lawyers on this because they were really targeting Gorsuch
good
because they knew that he was such a constitution, like what does the law say, and that was the approach. And this is a direct slap in the face to the Agent Orange administration because they, like you were saying, were trying to roll back healthcare protections for transgender Americans on not only is it Pride Month, but they did it specifically on the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting.
Disgusting.
Where 49 Americans were murdered. I'll never forget that day because you had called me and it was, you know, it's another thing that like I don't feel safe at a nightclub. It always comes into my mind as I'm having a good time, you know? I don't like it, or a movie theater, or honestly now in my own home.
That was taken away from you. Taken away from me, taken away from all of us.
Yeah. So I wanted to celebrate that for the work that is being done, that yes. although it's shaky, the fabrics of our democracy are holding in place, that the checks and balances.
They're trying.
It's happening. Trying. It's shaky, and that's why we got to get out there and fucking vote.
Get
and
not, Trump like, out.
Everything you possibly can do. You know, vote. I've kind of been living by this, like, you know, I think everyone can take an opportunity to have a moral inventory of, like, what did they do 2016? What could they have done last election that they didn't do this go around and push themselves to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to really look at the midterm election of 2018. I think that was a beautiful election that we need to hold forward for 2020. You know, we got record number. We flipped the Senate. No, the House. No, the Congress people.
The House. We're working on the Senate. The Congress people. Them people in D.C., we flipped it.
So, we need to work on the Senate.
Like a pancake.
It's not just a presidential election.
Yeah.
It's an election for so many more things that are just as vital. The president is just a person.
It's a figurehead. And it also is the thing that can, like, stop the bleeding of the country, right?
Exactly.
It's the one that, like, we can... It's having a cool boss that, like, hey, can we do this? Sure, whatever. Okay, that's fine. You know?
Yes.
Like, and so we need a cool boss in there that's, you know... Uncle Joe is just like, sure, whatever. That's just...
Yeah.
We tell him what's up.
Yeah, we need him to appoint people who know how to do their job. That's what...
And that's what he's been looking to do. If you go to his website, he has literally on his policy page, 37 different policies that he's working on, coalitions that he's reaching out to, progressive coalitions. Mm. You go to the Agent Orange website, there's no policies
on it. Of course not!
Zero. Right.
And of course not.
If you look at this, we have an opportunity to actually change the Republican Party. If we make them lose enough elections, if we can stay strong on this
for
the
next
two or three election cycles, exactly, they have to adapt. And that's how parties end up changing, is they have to adapt to what the times are. We can force, inadvertently, we can change the Republican Party
by
voting in these elections.
They are public servants. Let us not forget that. They are public servants. We don't bend to their whims. They bend to our whims. There's more of us.
Right. Oh, I mean, that's our tagline, because together we are the majority.
Ooh, thanks, Dolores.
Say it in the middle of the show. Thank you, Dolores.
Hey, I'm Jared Hill, co-host of the brand new Maximum Fun podcast, Fanti.
And I'm Travelle Anderson. I'm the other more fabulous co-host. And the reason you really should be tuning in.
I feel the nausea rising.
To be Fanti is to be a big fan of something, but also have some challenging or anti feelings toward it.
Kind of like Kanye.
We're all fans of Kanye. He's a musical genius, but, like, you know.
He thinks slavery is a choice.
Or like the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, I love the drama, but do I want to see black women fighting each other on screen?
To the nah. We're tackling all of those complex and complicated conversations about the people, places, and things that we love.
Even though they may not love us back.
Fanti, Maximum Fun, podcast.
Ow.
Oh, you know, so I want to bring this up because I know you're dancing and I want to bring you up and now I want to bring you down.
Oh, great. Here we go.
You know I like to bring you on a roller coaster of
always
feelings, emotions, thoughts. We pivot so much on this show.
Oh, my God.
And politics, movies. Speaking of movies, I just said it.
Okay, come on. Give it to me.
So I watched The Five Bloods
by Spike Lee,
his latest movie on
Netflix. A Spike Lee joint.
I actually was cramming. I was watching it last night as I fell asleep, and I was watching it this morning as I was working out.
Ooh, can I do like a really quick aside?
Yes, of course. Give me that aside. I want a side dish. Is this macaroni and cheese or coleslaw?
This is like a little bit of, this is a cornbread side. It's just a quick little like pop it in your mouth. We've been watching videos because I'm sick of fucking kid shit. Like Elmo. Oh. I'm tired. So
Sesame Street did do a town hall on police violence.
Good for people that aren't sick of Elmo yet.
But
to all my parents out there,
Sesame Street for doing that though, for doing a town hall.
No,
on
it's
police
good.
Violence.
I love
okay,
it.
Your face
I love
says
it.
Otherwise,
Elmo is annoying. Elmo's dad has a soul patch. let's move on. So
Emma was a dad?
Yes. He was a part of the town hall. He looks like a deadbeat. He's wearing like a bowling shirt.
They were on a Zoom call and Emma was like, why are they so upset? And he's like, they have a right to be upset.
Yeah. Which is good. Thanks, Elmo's dad. But anyways, so
Elmo, can I go right now?
I'm going to close this laptop right now, just like NeNe Leakes did on the Bravo reunion, Zoom reunion.
Did she? She was
yeah, she left. No she way. Closed her laptop and left. All right. So this is turning into a big side dish. This is supposed to be tiny. So we were watching videos and then we got super political and then we put on Fight the Power by Public Enemy, which was directed by Spike Lee. And it starts off with the 1963 marches and, you know, the I Am a Man marches talking about like how against police brutality. And then it goes directly into 1989, which is when the video was shot. And Chuck D and, you know, Flavor Flav, they staged their own march through the streets of New York against police violence. And I just have to say both of those pertinent to now, which is sad.
Well, but, I mean, you know, speaking of something else that Spike Lee did, just to take that little side piece and get to a little bit, you know, something I'm going for more.
Okay.
He re-edited Do the Right Thing. It's a short film that he did, and it's essentially combined footage of Eric Garner, George Floyd, and Do the Right Thing.
Yes.
Because all three of those moments end and a black man being killed by the police in a chokehold, right? And there, that movie was in 1992. And at the time, critics panned it. They were like, oh, Spike Lee's living in this militant fantasy world. This is not the real world. Even though it was the truth. And this is what had been happening. And so, you know, watching The Five Bloods, it's interesting. It will, it took me on many a ride. It's like five movies in one.
Isn't it about like Vietnam vets going back to Vietnam to get their treasure?
Something like that, yeah. So it's sort of like Saving Private Ryan meets The Goonies,
meets The Wood, meets that one episode of The Simpsons where they form a tartine with Mr. Burns and Grandpa Simpson,
meets a suspense thriller. It's a lot of movies happening. Here's the things that I think, like, first, I think watch it because I've never seen a movie about five older black men. I just haven't seen it. Can't really think of it. Just going on a trip, right? They go on a trip outside of the United States. I have never seen it. And it starts off with them. It's a bit of a reunion. Seeing older black male joy, for one.
That's
it's just
nice.
A revolutionary thing I've never seen on screen. Second of all, what I really appreciate is that black people are left out of the conversation about veterans so often, or even war stories. Only reason why I saw 1917 was because it was a cinematic, like, you know, masterpiece, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't want to see another war story that's not about black people, because we have fought, and we've talked about this on the show, every single war that has ever happened on the soil or for America, we have fought and we have bled for this country. So that's why when, you know, Drew Brees steps in it, and is misspeaking about, you know, the flag. That's our flag.
We have bled
all over that
we
fucking flag.
We earned that fucking flag. We sewed that flag. We fought for that flag. We've grown the materials for that flag. That's our flag.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then we come home from these wars to discrimination.
Yes. And that's the thing that I really do appreciate for the story highlights. I mean, the story itself is just a really beautiful, creative, heartwarming story about, you know, the underlying themes of, you know, black people went to go fight for Vietnam and for this country, for the rights for other people to be able to have democracy. Meanwhile, we're not given that same democracy at home. There was a speech that one of, I think the Viet Cong is giving a radio announcement to saying essentially like, black people, you're fighting over here. Meanwhile, your, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. was just assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the statistics of Vietnam,
at the time, we were only 10% of the population, yet we were sent over there and dying at we were one third of those.
Yep, we're targeted. What? Targeted, yes, to go fight another person's war. And Vietnam is the biggest example of that because that's a murky ass war. We weren't going to like liberate, like it wasn't black and white. It was, we lost because we were honestly, it's questionable. People were protesting against the Vietnam War. Like it's.
Led to, again, which then pivoted, you know, and again, Martin Luther King Jr. was very against the Vietnam War, rightfully so, especially because we were on the front lines. For what reasons? Why are we fighting for this country? And, you know, two, that's where you start getting the war on drugs, because and Nixon's advisors have literally come out and said we had started the war on drugs to attack, to target black leaders and Vietnam protesters, right? So I think also, too, what the movie does really well is it highlights, I mean, again, it's like a million movies in one, and they reference all these different black soldiers throughout history. And, you know, Spike Lee will show their picture. Like, it's like,
oh, yeah, he likes to do that now.
It does. It's like his new trick that he does. And you're like, boop, picture of this.
Like, no, I don't know how I feel about
it. It's weird. I'm just like, okay, Spike. I feel like I'm literally watching someone still. What's nice about Spike Lee is that he's still that film student who's just exploring.
He's experimenting, man.
And you feel like you're just watching this man experiment. I'm just like, okay, go ahead. And sometimes,
I know.
Sometimes, like, you know, the moments work and sometimes they don't. But what I was going to say is that it works as like a giant history lesson of historical black figures who fought in all these American wars, like Atticus Finch, who was the first American to die, which set off the American Revolution. Like all these folks, like really, they should get their own movie. It's like a teaser plate into like all the next movies that need to get made. They are like the Avengers of black war heroes. I just think as a package and overall, the journey that you're going to go through, in the end, you're going to be like, I'm glad that the story was told.
Okay.
Go ahead, Spike Lee. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got to respect him for just the
It is very violent.
Well, oh. He doesn't normally... He's not a violent...
Yes, I know. This was sort of him doing a Tarantino-esque thing, but it is war. So
I mean,
there is war-like scenes, and so he doesn't shy away from it. PTSD, he deals with that heavily and strongly.
That's good.
And it's a lot of these black actors that you've seen before haven't gotten work. Oh, and two of the guys from The Wire, which I just finished, are also in it.
Good.
And Chadwick Boseman.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Chadwick, I feel like if he's not playing a notable historic black man, he is
playing Black Panther,
creating a notable role.
Oh yeah, yep. Oh yeah, you're totally right. That's his wheelhouse. I will say, it's the movie. It's not perfect, but who fucking cares? You know, I see white directors making movies that are not. And the sad thing is, I think it's because you can name the black directors. You know, we can name them, you know, Ava DuVernay, Cassie Lemons, Ryan Coogler,
Melina,
John Singleton.
It's like
that one woman who has those two names who did Beyond the Lights, her. If I said her name, if I found it, you would totally know. It's something like Blythe Blawood.
Sure. I mean, I believe you, and that's sad. But like, for example, I just tried to watch Ad Astra with Brad Pitt. It was terrible. And
we just get to, we don't bat an eyelash, but it's like when a black director, and I had to even check my own bias, because I know that even myself, I will judge a black work even a little bit more, even harder, or it because there's so
like family,
few of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So let that go. Go get your history lesson. Watch The Five Bloods. It's a roller coaster, and I mean that in all the ways that I can mean a roller coaster. Like, this is really great. Oh, I don't think this is good. Oh, this is exciting. I'm sad. What? This is exciting. Ah, angry. What? All of those.
Okay, and I'm gonna watch it. Okay, so what is it better than? Because I saw Black Klansman.
It is definitely, I think...
Is it which is better?
I don't even know where to put it in. It's definitely, I think you'll enjoy it more than Black Klansman.
Okay, because I'm Spike Lee.
I think, I don't even know what to put it as, because it's honestly kind of very different than anything else he's kind of done before. Mm-hmm. Not different like Inside Man, where I was like, what are we doing here, Spike? Like,
I mean, he had to try a heist.
I think that's one thing I really like about Spike Lee, is that like he kind of really does something different every time. It makes me sad that he didn't.
Fun. I like
he's
that.
Fun. And, And he's such a lover of movies and yeah. the history of cinema, MGM. Like, he, you know, started off, he really loved musicals. And so you see, yeah. like, School Days, which was a musical. I wish that great. He had done gotten to do Rent.
Oh, my God.
I think he would have done a much better job at it.
Yeah, that would have been good. I mean, Spike Lee is really fascinating now that we're diving into it. Because now I'm thinking about, like, She's Gotta Have It. And then also, yeah. like, I watched the Michael Jordan documentary. Of course, Spike Lee pops up because he did all the commercials for, like, Michael Jordan. Yeah. It's just like
he also did Michael Jackson's What About Us music video. He did
he's
and there's two different versions, one in a prison and one in an African village.
Oh, he also did Doing the Butt.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, okay, Spike. Okay. And also, Do the Right Thing is just one of the what's the one with Rosalie Perez?
White Man Can't Jump.
Well, is that the one she's dancing in the beginning?
And I giving think it so. All? Yeah, I think that's White Man Can't Jump.
Well, maybe it's not Do the Right Thing. I would think maybe the Do the Right Thing is the one where she's dancing it up or whatnot. Well, anyways, like, he's got a vast film collection.
That's not
and
his
I think,
movie.
And
yeah, you're right.
It is Rosie Perez, though.
Yeah,
Billy,
she's in both.
Why don't you ever take me to the movies?
Yeah, she's
it's
in
how
both.
I get into one of my character voices. I'm like, I do Rosie Perez. but, like, I look at him, and it to me, he should be on the same level as a Martin Scorsese.
Exactly. I was just going to bring up Martin Scorsese because I feel like they're at the same, they've been around the same amount of time. And the difference is Martin Scorsese makes the same fucking movie every single time. Like, I just tried to watch The Irishman 3 hours long of the same fucking boring gangster shit that he does all the time. Same actors to the point where he has to de-age them. Like, you know, and people are celebrating him where he's literally recycling his same shit over and over again. Where Spike Lee's out here trying new tactics, getting new actors, getting new experiences. And then you go back into his bank and you go, wow, that was relevant back then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And doing the butt.
Like, news. And telling, like, new stories and new angles. Like, if you look at the end of Black Klansman, he ties it into, you know, the Charleston, the protest there. And then even this one gets tied into Black Lives Matter. And, you know, it's interesting you bring up The Irishman because they use de-aging. And in this movie, he uses these older actors and they also play their younger self, but there is no de-aging. And I'm curious about okay. So Chadwick Boseman, it's like Chadwick Boseman being like his younger self, and
then
the
he
rest
plays
of them
an
are
older
just
man?
Their older self. What? No, Chadwick Boseman is the one that they're going back to find his remains. This is not a spoiler.
But then the other guys are just like, yeah, we're young.
And they don't use de-aging until, like, the very, very end. There's a picture in their de-age. So two things. One, I wonder if it was a choice to not to do the flashbacks with them as just themselves. Or two, it might have also just been a budgetary thing. And that makes me upset because how come Spike Lee can't get that same money that Martin Scorsese is getting? And so his movie might not get as much acclaim because of they didn't have the budget for the de-aging. And I just think that
You know what?
Upset
I actually... I like that choice, though. You know why I like that choice? Because recently, as I'm getting older, I'm realizing that I still feel like 25 me, you know? Like, I'm still like, oh, yeah, I'm like 25-year-old Neke. And then I look in the mirror and I'm like, cool, gray hair is getting a little tired. This is looking a little older and saggy or whatever. But I think that that's kind of an interesting choice because you can argue... Even though they look old, when they're still the same person. It translates
very
over.
True.
So that's I'm interested to hear what you would say.
And it is too. There's a lot of choices that he makes in it that I'm so curious. I want to hear him just talk about it. And that's what's so exciting about Spike Lee is that he's still making creative choices, and sometimes they might work and sometimes they don't. But he's taking those risks.
Yes.
Where you don't get a lot of directors who will take. It has to be so polished, and Spike Lee is just sort of just still that young film student from NYU. So
it's
exciting to watch his work. And like, there's even things like with the editing. Like, anytime there's a hug, it almost I first thought was like, oh, this is bad editing, but like I think it's a choice because by the end they keep doing it where if there's a hug, they show it back to back from both angles that it was shot at.
I like that.
At first you're like, oh wait, what? But then it just keeps happening.
Oh,
it's It's a journey that you're going to go on. You feel like you're back when you're in college watching those sort of indie films.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. So I give a lot of snaps to Spike Lee. I hope he gets the recognition that he deserves in this movie. Watch this movie instead of The Help.
Ew, don't watch The Help.
Oh my God, Aneke, I wanted to rip my hair out when I saw the week that the protests were happening, the number one movie on Netflix was The Help. Listen, when we're asking you all to take in black media, that is not what we meant. Look, Aneke has no comments.
I am disappointed, but not surprised. Yeah. Quick story, quick story. I once worked at a private Catholic school that used to go on silent retreats for the seniors, and it was like a transformative thing, and every adult that was assigned a couple of students where they had to read a letter from the parent to the student at the end while holding a candle. So it was very like, you know, thought-provoking, cry, a lot of that stuff where it's like the students are hearing the words of their parents without the parents being around. A lot of things like, I loved you, you're turning into such a beautiful woman. One letter I had to read to a blonde girl, in the letter, it said, I is smart, I is beautiful.
No. No.
I is blah, no. Blah, 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 blah.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yes.
The fuck no.
I quit that job.
I am going to use my powers as the time traveler's wife and change that point in history. If I have one thing in history that I can change, that's the moment I'm going to change and be like, I will grab that piece of paper and rip it up, and then I'll leave, and then you won't. Yeah, that's my moment. That's my moment. Rip, 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 rip.
I know.
I'm sorry you had to do that. I'm sorry.
You know, I'm sorry that white people are so basic and can't think of anything better other than couch themselves in some pastoral racism to make them feel good.
Not okay.
What do you look for in a book? Literally, if on the back it said, like, this book made me shit my pants, I'd be like, I'm buying this book.
Yeah.
Like, I think the problem with blurbs a lot of times...
I like that we both want to crap ourselves over books.
What's the best way to e-read in the tub?
Listen to that noise. I'm reviewing a plastic bag today.
How do you find a good book?
This is the most fucked up weird shit you've ever read. You're like, into it. I'm like, hand it over.
Take my money.
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara. We're Reading Glasses, and we solve all your bookish problems. Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
I mean, we're so casual.
Going, getting real lazy with you today because I can just let my hair down.
You know what? You're putting on a nicely worn sweater with me.
Yeah.
There's no primer with me.
Can we tank top?
Sure.
It's hot.
You got to have your arms out.
You know I need these guns out.
What about a nice fitting jean?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, a nice fitting jean.
There's no hole in the crotch?
No.
Well, sometimes I have those.
I am not your crotchless jeans.
You sure? I have a lot of holes in my crotch. It's because I be dancing and the splits.
That's your problem.
And I work out, so my thighs are getting bigger in a good way.
I'm just imagining you just like popping splits, just like.
But damn,
that's how you're dealing with your core.
I am actually, fun fact, an unflexible dancer. Yeah. I can barely touch my toes, but you know I could be working it out.
I mean. That's for the listeners, because I knew that.
Oh, that I'm an unflexible dancer?
Because we've talked about how unflexible you are before. There have been times where we tried to record in person, and you could barely cross your legs. Like, I remember how unflexible you are. You are rigid.
Oh, man. My body is just a tank. Okay.
It's a muscly tank that, you know, looks good in a tank top.
That's exactly, which is you in full circle. So here we are. Tank top is back.
Not your crotchless jeans.
You're not my crotchless jeans. You're my tank top. Okay. I'm going to switch complete gears here from Giggle Towns to Activist Town. So
sounds good.
Previously
to me.
On the podcast, we had talked about Campaign Zero, which is 10 different points to reform the police. And the same organization has now updated it from 10 points to 8 can't wait. So those are great.
Okay.
Campaign Zero is great for like the long run, things we can do to reform and restructure our policing systems. And 8 can't wait is exact. It's actually 8 policies that we can accomplish now, so that we can get done now. And a lot of these things, like really, and people are looking for police reform, we have to remember that a lot of that reform, it's going to happen at the local level, which is why local elections matter, because the mayor appoints the police chief, the district attorney, we vote for that. The district attorney will be the one to try police officers who've been involved in misconduct. And then you at the local level set the policies. And this kind of comes on the heels of, you know, Friday, Rashard Brooks was shot and killed by a white officer in Atlanta at a Wendy's. I've been drunk at a Wendy's before. Like, people, like, it's...
Everybody has who's lived a life.
You've
like,
been drunk
come
at a Wendy's.
On.
Yeah. And,
like, how come Wendy's, like, employees can... deal with drunk people all the time, but the police can't.
Right. And so again, it's sort of like what 8 Can't Wait is going to show. I mean, again, we've been talking about the police are dealing with too many situations that they should, you know, only be dealing. There was nothing violent about this guy. He was just drunk. If you've ever had an encounter, like it can be trying to stay calm when interacting with the police is not it's challenging, right? I've been
not
there.
Easy.
I've, you know, my roommate, she had been, you know, wrestled to the ground by the police over, you know, it's an episode. We've talked about it on another episode before, but I thought, thank God she's.
I was on the call.
You were
for
on
that.
The call when that happened, you know, and it was supposed to be a wellness check. Next thing I know, she's bleeding on the ground. Thank God she's a white woman and that's why she's alive. Because she was. It's startling the way that they, you know, can attack people essentially when they're supposed, they're not warriors, they're supposed to be guardians. And
exactly.
It breaks my heart because Rashard Brooks, his daughter's birthday was the next day. Yes, you know, him having that officer's taser does not warrant him being shot 3 times in the back. And he was drunk.
All of these things that people give excuses for, like, oh, they're a criminal. Oh, they do this. Well, you know what? There's, like, fucking criminals every single day that don't go get murdered. Yep. You know?
Dylan Roof
there's
is still
no
alive.
Excuse.
Dylan Roof.
Exactly.
Who shot
and he.
Those eight
accepting, wonderful, God-fearing people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they took him to Burger King afterwards. So we know it's possible because we've seen them do it. But what statistically ends up happening is that when it's black people involved, we're not given that. And sometimes they're not even killed, but the physical harm, the harassment that is given to them, like
degrading.
Yep. Hands down. So here is 8 Can't Wait. And we know that policies can reduce the harm caused by police in the short term. And the ultimate goal is the abolition and liberation from policing as we know it. So 8 Can't Wait is looking to accomplish 3 things. One, the immediate harm reduction. So we want to look at the use of force policies, the demilitarization of our police forces, why they got a rocket launcher. Like, I don't know.
Why?
Like, and it's just, it's so sad because it's like, the administration just sent a bunch of quote-unquote PPE to frontline workers that they can't even use. They were glorified trash bags. How we got our doctors and nurses in fucking trash bags and our police officers in full-blown military bayonets? What you need a bayonet for? What are you going to use that for? To, like, do roast some marshmallows? Like...
It's not the fucking war of 1812. Like, what the hell? You're police officers. You're police officers. You're supposed to just be keeping the peace, protecting people, not inciting violence.
Yes.
If you appear to look violent, that's inciting violence.
Yes. Yeah, it's already
like,
got
to... I can't... If I walk down the street wearing 2... katanas on my back, I'm inciting violence.
Yeah, I'm gonna get nervous. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get my katanas just in case, or my size, or my nunchucks, because I don't know what this.
I don't blame you.
I don't know what this hoe gonna do. I'll be ready. I'll be ready because I watched Ninja Turtles. I'll be ready. So that's how that gets escalated. Oh man, Spike Lee should direct us in that movie. So we're also looking DOJ consent decrees and police union contracts. We know that the police unions are one of the reasons why it's very hard to get police officers, any reprimands for the police officers. So that's the first thing is the first bucket that these policies are going to deal with is the immediate harm reduction. The second thing that they're going to, these policies are going to look at is comprehensive community safety. So we want, again, divest from police. What are some other things that we could putting money and resources to. Because really the police is then, they're dealing with the cause of the civil unrest, the symptom of the civil unrest,
the effect,
but not the cause. And so what we need to be diverting our interest into is the community. So including, you know, housing, jobs, education, drug rehabilitation, right? We went too far.
Mental health.
Yeah, mental health, facilities. A huge thing. You know, I want to say something very high, like a high number of 911 calls are actually for mental health purposes. Only 5% of 911 calls are for violent crimes. So, and so many crimes don't even get solved. And it could be because the police officers, you know, are too busy doing all this other stuff, trying to get my cat out of the tree, and they shoot my fucking cat. Well, cat's out of the tree.
Yes.
You know, and
exactly. It's the truth. It's so crazy to me.
Yeah.
They are inciting all of this violence. Like, for example, I'm sure we've all mentioned this. This is just a casual thing that all of us has encountered. We'll be driving down a street that we drive down all the time, and we'll notice that there's an influx of cop cars that are just pulling people over. And then the one casual thing that everybody goes, oh, it must be the end of the month quota.
Yes.
So literally, they are causing a disturbance to make a mark, to make that statistic whatever, so they could get funding for whatever.
Right.
That's problematic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's not.
Well, and that's too what this program is also looking at is paying living wages. So it's also, you know, we want to make sure that these police officers are being paid. They shouldn't have to be fighting for, given the budget that they need to be able to do the things that they need to do, right? So they're not having to like, oh, I didn't make my arrest. That's how I probably got my fucking like MTA ticket in New York when I had already paid for the 7-day pass and had hopped the thing because I didn't want to miss my subway and ended up having to get a $125 ticket. Or it's like, I think I still haven't paid that ticket. So it's hundreds of dollars. In New York, you ain't getting a fucking penny of that. Reparations.
Ooh.
They got to come find me.
But I mean, like, don't go to jail.
Okay. also, in that comprehensive community safety is dramatically reduced jail and prison populations because it is such an industry. Mm. So we want to curb all of that. And then the third thing that these 8 policies are going to look at is the just abolition. So we want to fund community safety. We want to defund the police. Mm-hmm. You know, again, divesting money into other, you know, resources. You're already starting to see that happen in places like San Francisco. They're already coming up with a new system for responding to, you know, mental health issues and all the other things that people just need help with that are not... No gun needed. No gun needed. Right. I also think New York just disbanded their plain clothes officers. Like, y'all need to be wearing a uniform. Like, why are you just? Oh, not every day needs to be casual Friday for you. Like, we need to know who you are.
If some man in jeans started yelling at me, I'd be like, why are you yelling at me? You're a man in jeans. Mm-hmm. Like, leave me alone.
And badge like hidden. Like, I don't know. Like, who are you? What?
I don't like that.
And and resources and healthy community practices and needs. So it's just reimagining this system that we know has racist roots. It has, you know, roots that are into protect capitalist business interests and recapturing slaves. Like, we know that those were their roots are, or, you know, Texas Rangers massacring, you know, Mexican Americans. So. This is what's so great about 8 Can't Wait and even Campaign Zero. It's all backed on data and policies and ideas that we have seen work in other places. And research shows that more restrictive use of force policies can reduce killings by police and save lives. So these are, you're looking for what can I do? You can make sure that these 8 policies, that they're not already in your city, we can get them enacted into your city. So the first one is ban chokeholds and strangleholds. This is gone.
Easy.
Done. Gone.
Don't do it.
Allowing officers allowing officers to choke or strangle civilians results in the unnecessary death of serious injury of civilians. Both chokeholds and other neck restraints must be banned in all cases.
100.
And you know, in other countries, I talked about this a few weeks ago, but the police officers learn like martial arts or, you know, Krav Maga. So they, you know, have some, not saying to you, because in those practices, you actually are trained to not use it. You know, that's part of
giving
you the power and confidence to know how to defend yourself or de-escalate if you need to. So I think because these officers are out there scared. They're just frightened and trigger happy, some of them.
Why the hell are you a police officer then?
Right. So let's give them a different skill set that is more so based on keeping yourself safe, but is not about and it's a safe. You'll know how to handle a situation that doesn't involve. How many people do you hear at a karate match get murdered? They don't, because that's not, it just doesn't happen, because that's not how they use it. And you give yourself the confidence to be able to handle a situation if you need to. So the second one is require de-escalation. So
yes,
you want to require officers to de-escalate situations where possible by communicating with subjects, maintaining distance, and otherwise eliminating the need to use force. I mean, in this situation with Rashard, in this situation with Rashard Brooks, they already had his ID. They already had his car. All of it was unnecessary. Because if he was running away, they're like, okay, we know where he lives. If they really needed to follow up on it, they didn't. The problem, what he offered to walk home, everything about that situation was terrible and bad and didn't need to happen. And he should still be alive today. They murdered him.
It just...
These are murderers with badges.
It's exactly. Exactly. If any of us were to go to our job and kill somebody...
And that can you go to jail.
Laugh because it sounds ridiculous.
And why have we all, they've been given such a pass because.
Too much power.
We were like, oh yeah, they do that job. And it's been glorified, you know, in a certain way. And you're right. Like, no, none of us have gotten, if I murdered someone, I would go to jail. Just because they murder someone at their job.
Quick.
That does not mean they should get carte blanche to be able to just do that. Like. And
I just don't get it. Like, you shouldn't, it shouldn't be argued against. It should be like the rarest occasion that you kill somebody.
Yes.
The rarest of occasions that that happens. And even then, you should go to trial no matter what.
There should be an investigation.
If you are innocent.
Yeah. I mean, and other countries, again, we mentioned this in the podcast, but, you know, in Japan, they had zero police involved killings. In the UK, they had 3. And when it happens, it's a big deal. We look at it. There needs to be counseling and therapy. Like, if I am a police officer, I took someone's life, that's a big fucking deal. It shouldn't just be like, whoop, got one today. Like, that's, it's a big deal. Let's sit. Because honestly, that is a failure on the police's fault and the community. Okay, we failed today. We weren't able to save. You're like a doctor in a sense, right? You're there to help save lives. Like, and so there should be even a program to like have some counseling services to walk through this, because I think then you get numb to it. Oh, I killed somebody again today. Like, whatever. Right. Well,
that's what I mean. And if it needs to be a big deal.
And if you're in this warrior mentality, then of course you're going to see them as not human. So that way you can take their lives and it doesn't matter, but it goes too far. So number 3, require warning before shooting. You know, I think that, using Rashard as an example, that they, you know, I think someone would stop, right? And just gives them that opportunity. Require officers to give a verbal warning in all situations before using deadly force. Done.
Right.
Of course, part of the job. This is what it should be. Number 4, requires exhaust all alternatives before shooting. It should absolutely be the last resort. Should not have been
absolute
on the table.
Last.
In that situation at all.
Yep.
Off the table. He's running away.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Like in Watchmen, which I'm basically probably going to be helping students write papers on Watchmen in the year 2020 for the rest of my academic career.
Yep.
But
also just won a Peabody Award, Snaps of the Watchmen.
Good. It's so pertinent now. It's psycho. Yeah. But there's a scene where a cop has to call in to get his gun released.
Yeah.
Like that's what we need. We need the gun to be locked away. Like they shouldn't have access to it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like having it on you makes it itchy.
Yes.
If you have a candy bar in your pocket, you want to eat it.
Oh, I'm going to eat it. That's why I don't buy snacks, because I'm going to eat them. You know?
See?
Like, and just,
yes.
And statistically, you know, in domestic abuse cases, when there's a gun present, it heightens the likelihood that it's going to end in the loss of the life of the partner. It just heightens that because mm-hmm. it's there. Also, mm-hmm. in the case of the Chauvin who murdered George Floyd.
Murderer.
His wife left him as soon as he was sent to jail. So I think it gives you an insight into his character, as my cousin was pointing out, into his character that he had how many, like, different 18 different incidents of violent behavior with other, people in the mm-hmm. community, that it's not a surprise that she left immediately because of, you know, probably some stuff that was going on at home, you know?
But it's also like, oh, yeah, so she probably, maybe she couldn't have left.
Yes,
she
exactly. That's what, yeah.
So, like, when he went away.
Yep, as soon as he was gone, yeah. She was like, now I she can leave. Go. Yeah.
That's scary.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. Yeah. And two, like, these officers, like, there should, every officer should be in therapy. There should be mandatory therapy because it's...
Oh, 100. To give... some levity.
Sure.
It's a job where you're literally bored, patrolling, mm-hmm. looking for things.
Right. You're also looking for what's wrong, which you will find something.
Yeah, that can wear on your psyche.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thrown in a lot of situations that you're not equipped for.
Yeah.
So.
Because you don't have the training.
And not to mention right, and it's this raging man sort of like patriarchy on steroids.
Yes.
So, and I know that there's women that are police officers, but it's the same sort of thing, mm-hmm. you know? So yes, 100% therapy.
Yeah.
Should be mandated.
Mandated that they have, you know, again, this is how we can help them as well. I think that putting money and resources into that and just help to remind, you know, you're a guardian of the community. You are an officer of peace. That is your main goal, is to de-escalate and keep people safe. You're not at war. So then the next point is number 5, duty to intervene. Require officers to intervene and stop excessive force used by other officers and report these incidents immediately to a supervisor. I mean, yeah, you see someone doing something at work, you know, or seeing someone doing something dangerous at work, putting the lives of someone in danger or killing someone.
That's going to be that's one of the hardest ones though, because there's such a brotherhood, you know,
right.
You know, like we protect each other kind of, like those two guys that shoved that 75-year-old man and then all the 52 cops that resigned because those two idiots shoved a 75-year-old man. Like,
oh, they resigned they didn't resign in honor of that. They resigned because those two guys were being reprimanded. So it was
that's what I mean.
The police,
yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I
the
mean. Like that's that brotherhood thing where they were
saying, yeah.
they resigned because they were pissed that their brothers were being fucking yeah. punished
yep.
for shoving a 75-year-old man.
Yeah, right. No, I know.
And thank you for clarifying that. I wish they resigned because they thought it was
because that's what your heart wants to believe. Because that's what I had heard yeah. first, and that's what I thought had happened. I think that's what people wanted to hear, but that
nope.
That was not the case.
But 52 assholes, basically.
Yep.
52 assholes.
And again, that's the culture. The culture needs to reshift. I really applaud that in Camden, New Jersey, they disbanded the entire mm-hmm. police force and they built it back from scratch. Get rid of it all, mm-hmm. right? Like, the roots are rotten. We got to mm-hmm. clear out the whole entire thing. Let's start over. And because otherwise, because of the unions, it's like something like last one there, first one to leave. So you have the senior people who are there. And a lot of times the newer police officers are actually sometimes the ones that are the more progressive and want to see reform mm-hmm. and change. And if you get rid of them first, then we're stuck with the ones that
back
it's time
at
for
it.
Them to move on.
And it sucks because normally I support unions, but this police union is.
It's weird. Well, that's the thing. And this is the one union that Republicans support. They hate all the other unions.
Yep.
It's so bananas. Number 6, ban shooting at moving vehicles. Yeah. Ban officers
Hello.
From shooting at moving vehicles in all cases, which is regarded as particularly dangerous and ineffective tactic. While some departments may restrict shooting at vehicles to particular situations, these loopholes allow for police to continue killing in situations that are all too common.
Jeez.
62 people were killed by police last year in these situations. That's 62 too many. We're not at war.
That's a lot. That's of
too
people.
Many. Holy shitballs. And not to mention the bystanders and, you know, gets glorified in these police shows. Bang, 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 bang. No, that's a horror movie. That is really bad. There was the instance, a guy in Vallejo recently seems that he had fallen asleep at a drive-thru. And I don't know if you heard about the story. He fell asleep at a drive-thru. They called the police. And when they went to wake him up, he was startled and they lit him up. They thought he was reaching for something and they lit him up. That's ridiculous. What would they possibly have thought that this man was doing? What are they thinking? He was
asleep in his car.
Like, and why would you, I'm taking a nap and then the first thing I'm going to do is get my gun and just start shooting at people? Like, why are you that afraid and trigger happy?
Like, I feel like calling the police is an act of terrorism in its own self.
Truth.
Like, we know what's going to happen. Yep. Like, that's why we need to create these departments where instead of police coming to wake up a sleeping man in a parking lot, it's somebody like a community guardian or whatever, who knows?
Yeah.
They come without guns to see what's going on and then form a triage to go, okay, this person is suffering from mental health stuff. This person's suffering from substance abuse stuff.
This person is drunk. Homeless.
This person, we just need to get this person home.
Yeah, that's it.
And then, there's all these different things to figure out that will save this person's life.
Yep.
And also release some of that pressure off of the police.
Yes.
That I feel like need to be defunded anyway. Right. Abolished anyways. But just in short term, things.
Yeah, looking at the short term for what we can do. Because also, again, because it's the same thing with, I understand the need for, when you're transitioning, we're looking for Medicare for all, right? We're not going to be able to abolish the Medicare system as we know it, but we need to sort of wean ourselves off of that. So by creating a public option first, because Kaiser's not going to disappear tomorrow, right? So in the same way, the police are not going to disappear tomorrow, but let's start creating other resources and programs, and we all start getting used to that, and we could probably use this area less and less, right?
Exactly. Like, I'm all about the revolution, you know, but you don't put a kid on a bike that hasn't rode with training wheels. You're not just
put them on a motorcycle.
Out.
Like, they're not ready.
You know, exactly. Yes. Like, I know, it sounds to our really heavy left leaning people out there that I'm being moderate, but I'm not. I'm being practical when I say these things.
And it's because, and I want to point out something to you. My sister, and I mean that on every level of that, because you are my sister and you my sister.
Yes.
We are the show Sister Sister. It's
Sister
and then
Sister. I'm Tamara.
I'll be Tia. Is she the one who's not on the reel?
I have no idea.
Fair. Okay, I want to point something out too, because I understand. When I hear, this is a little bit of a tangent, but when I hear white people talking about the revolution and burn it all down, that makes me nervous. Because I just see that coming at the cost of Black lives even more so.
Yes.
And I understand Black people's practicality because we are already on the front lines. And we also can't afford any tomfoolery, right? We need an ease of things, because one fell swoop, we're going to be dead. We're the first ones to be carted off.
Dead and back to even worse.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, we saw what happened when we had a Black president.
Yep.
Where are we now?
Yep.
In terms of presidency.
Yep.
It's like, we got to boil the pot slowly for the crab to die here in America, unfortunately. I wish we could have a quick sea change, but when I say burn it all down, it's a colloquialism.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I clutch my pearls when I see white people saying that. Cause I'm just like, but that's going to be us in the front lines, or they're going to round us up. And we've been fighting this revolution, but we've had to get more smarter about our tactics at it, where we're protesting, but we're also working from the insides and the confines of the system. So I just,
and let's face it, the only reason that I feel like a lot of people are politicized about this happening with George Floyd is because we've all been in quarantine and everybody's frustrated and crazy. Let's be completely honest.
Yeah. And everybody had to sit and watch these videos. Everybody had, there was not a lot of distraction. There's no football or basketball games to distract anybody. Like, everybody, there's no movies.
You can't
movies.
Go to a restaurant.
Yep. you're not going to a restaurant. Like, everybody had to see it. And again, the tipping point of this is because white people are being activated. Y'all are the majority. Like, y'all wanted slavery to end. It ended. Y'all wanted Jim Crow to end. It ended. Like, own your fucking power and end this shit. You can do it. Come on, Karen. We're rooting for you. So, I can say that my aunt's name is Karen. Okay. So, require use of force continuum is number 7. So, you need to establish a force continuum that restricts the most severe type of force to the most extreme situations to create clear policy restrictions on the use of each police weapon and tactic. Get them all batons. Less guns, more batons. They're fun to twirl.
I mean, nobody wants to be whacked by a baton, though, either.
I know, but I think, like, I prefer get them a baton instead of a gun, is, I think, what I'm thinking.
True, you know? Yes, that's true.
So you can have different levels. Like, you should... And also, too, it's the same thing of, like, there's a reason why the axe... Like, when it's, like, breaking case of an emergency, right? It's tucked away. I'm not always walking around the school. I don't work at a school. But if I did, it'd be wild if I always had an axe, right? Wouldn't it?
Yeah, we would not let you on campus.
Or if I always carried a fire extinguisher in my hand, I would end up using it on people or just things, right? Because it's in my hands. I'm going to use it.
I know. It's true. I guess I'm just thinking of, like, the whole Rodney King of it all, where he was just, like, beaten down, you know, and with batons and stuff.
Well, again, so it also goes like to just you could kill the somebody. Well, and also with recursive use of force continuum, like, we then establish how to use it, getting proper training.
Yeah.
Again, like, I honestly think, like, the Israeli police learned Krav Maga, like, it absolutely, like, because it's a defense, you know, fighting tactic. Mm-hmm. It's not about aggression. It's about defense, defending yourself. Why are you laughing?
I do, like, every time you mention Krav Maga, you always do a little...
You know why? I want to do Krav Maga. I signed up for Krav Maga classes and never took them. So this is me practicing my Krav Maga. I know.
Or now I can look learn. Like you're doing capoeira.
I was going to say that. You know, capoeira would be really up my alley because it's like dance fighting. But Catwoman ruined it for me because that's what Halle Berry studied.
I want our police to learn that. So anytime they have to defuse a situation, somebody comes in with like a ding, 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 like, and then they're like doing
capoeira
like
time. A flip, a high kick, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ga, 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 ga.
Ding, 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 ding.
I am here for that. Okay, last one. 8, require comprehensive reporting. So on this one, you want to require officers to report each time they use force or threaten to use force against civilians.
Yes.
Comprehensive reporting includes requiring officers to report whenever they point a firearm at someone in addition to all other types of forces. So, because again, we also need to, if you don't, this is a simple thing in business. If you don't track something, You can't know what you don't know.
There's no paper trail.
There's no paper trail, you know? Even for myself, like with my finances, when I track my finances, they're great. When I'm not tracking them, ooh, Lord, what's going on? Right? Where'd my money go?
Yes.
Right? Like it's so you can't change if you're not tracking your data for things. And also with this, it would be tracking... you know, officers who are fired, we need to know where they were fired, having a database about that. And again, like anytime there's violence that's used, it was a failure as a society failed in that moment. Because unfortunately, we had failed that person. They had felt like they needed to act out in that way. And then the police had to respond in that way as well, right? That's the idea of that. We failed as a society. So, yeah, there's not comprehensive reporting. There needs to be. I want to add one that's not on the list, but I think should be banning police use of facial recognition.
Oh, God. Yeah. Watch the news, John Oliver.
Yeah.
It's so good. So scary.
Highly recommend. Watch the new John Oliver. Same thing.
I guess it won't be new when this comes out.
It'll still be new because this is coming out on Juneteenth and it's the latest episode.
Ooh, that's right.
It's the latest episode of John Oliver.
Current.
It talks about the China's facial recognition software, what they called Skynet. Hello.
Which is so dumb.
Are we trying to make that happen? I always thought it was bad enough that we named it the cloud. And now we're just going full force.
If 2020 is evident, we're going to have a full-blown Terminator revolution, whatever, happening at the end of this
year.
year.
Wow. I was like, surely she must mean Sendri. Nope, Aneka is predicting for this year. So tune in, folks. But there's already the record in Clearview, which is already leasing out their facial recognition, which is not foolproof. It's very inaccurate.
Especially for black people.
Especially for black people, which surprise technology and black, not working for black people, working against them.
Go back to your Kodak episode.
And we'll be releasing that soon. And also, facial recognition is very dangerous for LGBT folks, you know, who might be in other parts of the country.
Vulnerable.
Who, like, in Saudi Arabia or at other parts of, like, the Middle East where it's illegal to be gay. And if they're identified or even wrongfully identified, we're talking about the murder of people because of their sexuality. So it's very dangerous. Make sure that's not happening in your... You have power. And I said this earlier. Not only do politicians work for us, but the police are agents of the state and they work for us as well. So...
Yes, they do.
You can go to 8 Can't Wait... Find your city, and it'll tell you exactly which policies your city already has banned and not banned. Like, your old home of Alameda has only banned 2 out of 8 of these.
Don't get me started with Alameda. Sorry. I'm looking at you, Alameda. Alameda is messed up. They've always had a police problem. That's not, like... Yeah. I will put Alameda on blast. Mm-hmm. You have had a problem, Alameda. Last time I went to Alameda, I saw some cops wearing a mask, which is great, but the mask was a thin blue line mask, so it's like not great.
Yeah. Oakland has there's just 3 problems more that they need to ban, but at least it's, you know, the great thing about this website, it gives you the contact numbers of all the people that you need to contact. It's you can send them a tweet, you can email them, you can call them. It gives you a script. This is such a dope website. My new home of San Francisco is actually on top of it and has all 8 of these are already in place, but we still need to continue putting pressure on our government there. So those are 8 Can't Wait. You're looking for what can I do? Here's 8 things. Go for it. Always great to have our librarian queen back on the pod. So lots to fact check this week. So let's get into it. So some more information has come out about Rayshard Brooks, the unarmed man who was shot by police in Atlanta. So there has been some conversation that he had grabbed the police officer's tasers. Apparently, each taser can only have 2 usages. Now, the police had actually already used both of those 2 usages on Rayshard. So when he had ran away, they had pretty much already known that there was nothing left. The taser was, you know, there was no more juice left up in the taser. So trying to fear for their lives, and he was only 18 feet away and his back was turned. So, and one of the officers said, "I got him," after he had shot him. And then another one of the officers kicked his body, and another one of the officers stood on his shoulders. This is a problem with the culture of policing. I wanted to give a shout out to the person who is helping Merriam-Webster update the dictionary. That is recent college graduate Kennedy Mitchum. She had emailed the editors of Merriam-Webster to express her frustrations over its definition of racism. That essentially getting them to update it, that it, you know, is a belief that race is the primary determinant of human traits and capacities, and that racial differences produce an inherent superiority of a particular race. So it's not just disliking someone because of the color of their skin. She says that there are systems in place in healthcare and the justice system and that are automatically formed to put people of color at the bottom and keep them at the bottom of the barrel. So glad that those are being updated. I love it. Like, everybody, as long as you're doing something, find your lane, get involved, make that change. Sang a certain pop star that I will not name. And big snaps, the Supreme Court got busy this week because they also blocked President Trump from immediately ending the DACA program. So this is lovely for those who are voting for Agent Orange because they wanted him to uphold what they wanted. They wanted his court to uphold their bullshit beliefs. Well, not even doing that. So what are you really voting for? And we had mentioned the legislation that Trump was trying to enact just this past last week, that the courts are now, putting that the courts are now challenging that with their latest decision to uphold that someone cannot be discriminated in the workplace based on their sexual orientation, which is in line with the civil rights decision. So this decision essentially has voided the Trump administration's rule that was rolling back healthcare protections for transgender Americans. Because, like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, so why wouldn't you be trying to putting your attention towards taking the rights away from transgender people? That's what you're really trying to focus on? So that's bullshit. Although there is, you know, absolutely, we should celebrate this moment, but let's not forget there is still plenty of work to be done. It's a shame that civil rights tends to be piecemealed, state by state, group by group, this bit by this bit. But Laverne Cox was saying on The View, she was very hopeful that this ruling should be the precedent that should grant equal rights and protections in all instances, because there's a question of, this is just about the workplace, but what about, you know, people or transgender folks in particular, could they still be discriminated against when it comes to housing or healthcare? But it looks like this ruling should set precedents that it should be equal protections in all instances. I'm going to link Spike Lee's short film that we had mentioned, Three Brothers. It is, definitely watch it. It's, you know, a minute, but it links the his character in Do the Right Thing, George Floyd, and Eric Garner. And it is definitely gotta watch it. The only thing I could find was when Spike Lee and Jimmy Fallon watched it together. So that's their interview. And it's actually really interesting, Jimmy Fallon, seeing him process and talk about it with Spike Lee, Jimmy Fallon of all people, if even he can come to the table and realize, you know, something is rotten in the state of America. There's something about that. The guy who petted and normalized Agent Orange's behavior on his, you know, talk show, to see him come around full circle to, oh, we've got to do something. Let's talk about the Spike Lee. The director of White Man Can't Jump, not Spike Lee, it was actually Ron Shelton. You know, Ron Shelton. Ain't nobody know Ron Shelton. See, there's so many white directors, you don't even know their names. But you know all the black ones. So Ron Shelton was also the writer and director of White Man Can't Jump. He also wrote the screenplay for Bad Boys 2, specifically. Also, he directed Tin Cup. he also is the current writer on LA's Finest, which is starring Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba, which is only on Spectrum. And it's a spinoff from Gabrielle Union, who doesn't age, her character in Bad Boys 2, which was cut, which was not included in Bad Boys 3, which, like, what the fuck, Martin Lawrence and Will Smith. But I think LA's Finest is actually being put on pause because ain't nobody trying to watch no show about cops, even if it's with Gabby Union and Jessica Alba, who I love. Maybe they could do a different show, like LA's Finest Social Workers. Interesting. Oh, and the name of the director that I could not remember, the black female director, Gina Prince Blythewood. See, I almost had that Blythewood. I knew she had two last names. She directed Beyond the Lights. And she was going to direct the now canceled Silver Sable and Black Cat movie for Sony, Silver and Black. We had mentioned, I think we said the Charleston 8 in regards to Dylann Roof. It's actually the Charleston 9. Rest in power. Our thoughts and prayers go with them and their family and their community. It is the 5-year anniversary. Hard to believe that that happened just 5 years ago. And we had talked about The Watchmen. We've been talking about The Watchmen. And if you haven't seen it and you don't have HBO and you've not borrowed your cousin's password or your mom's password or whatnot, don't worry. HBO, in honor of Juneteenth, which is this weekend, you can watch The Watchmen and stream it for free. If you haven't, this is exactly what you need to be doing this weekend. If you're not out there protesting with a mask and social distancing while you're out there, I know you're not going to that stupid Tulsa rally. Let's not give that any attention that Trump is doing over there. Definitely check out The Watchmen. Also, because we filmed a bonus, Aneka and I recorded a bonus episode a few weeks ago. We were going to do it for the Max Fun Drive, and it was released, but it wasn't released. Anyways, we're going to do a re-release of that episode because I know a lot of you haven't listened to it, but you want to make sure that you have seen The Watchmen before you take part of it as we break that down. I'm just going to give you this little tidbit. It kicks off in Tulsa during the massacre. So you all are definitely ready to partake in that if you haven't already. We have primed you with our MK Tulsa Rewind just a few weeks ago. Or was it just last week? Also, we had mentioned a man in Vallejo who was shot and killed. There was one that was recently, but the one that I was referring to actually happened in February 9th, 2019, of Willie McCoy, who was shot in his car. He had fallen asleep at a fast food restaurant. And I guess he was asleep. He had a gun in his lap and he was startled by the police and they just shot him because, you know, it's, you know, you're falling asleep. Anyways, what happened to the right to bear arms, the Second Amendment rights? Is it that only white people get to have those arms? Just so we're all on the same page here. And it was something like they fired 55 rounds at him in approximately 4 seconds. That's insane. That's insane that we have weapons that can even do that and that officers of the peace can do that. It's too much. It's too much. Okay, that was the fact check. So there we go. Be sure to, if you haven't done so already, you can write a review for us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. It helps people to find the shows. Y'all have been so loving on those reviews. Really appreciate that. Be sure to share us out on social media. Loving that as well. It's been helping people to find the show, helping us grow the Corner Kids. The Corner Kids Playground is also on Facebook. New members are showing up every day. I am loving it. Keep the conversations and the ideas going on. It's a great safe place to share articles, ideas, further conversations, chat with me. I'm much more active on Facebook than any of the other social media platforms, for better or worse. It's worse. We are on Twitter. We are on Instagram. Follow us, like us, and there you go. Well, have a happy Juneteenth, happy 5-year anniversary. I know some of y'all have been here for a long time and some of you are brand new. And here's to another fantastic year of learning, laughing, and playing with all of you. I love you all so much. Stay safe out there. And thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Why'd I say it like that?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.